Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a great day and staying safe right now. Be praying for everybody up north right now, all the way from Philadelphia to Boston, all over the place. They basically got bombarded again with another nor'easter monster snowstorm. They said they're expecting it to dump another 2 feet of snow. It looks like almost over 2,000 flights have been canceled. More have been delayed. Amtrak's canceled. Everything's pretty much shutting down up there. So be praying for all those people up there. That's definitely a rough time to be involved and all that. Some crazy weather modification stuff that's been going on lately, as we have all have seen firsthand over the last year now. And other than that, how are you doing today, Dad, up there in North Carolina?
Also doing great. Clear skies today, blue skies, no chemtrails whatsoever. It's about 38 degrees right now. It's a little bit chilly, but it's nice. The sun's out, so it really feels kind of good. I mean, it's just a crisp, beautiful blue day, so really, really enjoying it. How are you doing down there with the chemtrails? Are they back on you guys or not?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we've had about 2.5 weeks of chemtrail-free weather. It's been incredibly beautiful. It ended up raining last night, early morning today, which was good because it got the pollen down. But, of course, when I woke up first thing this morning and went outside, they had literally already started with the crisscross tic-tac-toe chemtrail starting up again today, which is really unfortunate because the last couple days here, the skies have been so blue because we literally haven't had a single chemtrail plane down here in Central Florida in probably almost 2 weeks, I would dare to say. And the weather was really getting nice. Now it rained. Now they're back at it. I don't know if they're trying to push some of the pressure down here or keep the pressure up there with the nor'eastern front that everybody got hit with the snow, but it's definitely clearly something's going on because you guys got to think about it from a logistical standpoint. There's no legitimate reason why everybody up there in Philly and Boston, everybody literally just got bombarded with a huge snowstorm at the exact same time we get like 2 inches of rain down here, and on top of that, we start having chemtrails all over the state of Florida immediately at the exact same time. You got to look at what's going on with this weather modification, this weather warfare that they're doing. It's quite irritating, but you have to understand what it is at least so you can figure out, you know, more of what's going on behind the scenes.
You know, it's sad, isn't it? It really is.
It's sad.
Yeah. First story, medical experts are no longer now recommending routine screening for ovarian cancer. They're saying that false positives are leading to way too many unnecessary life-altering surgeries for many women. Now, what that means is they test you for ovarian cancer, and you don't have ovarian cancer, but the test comes back that you have a positive ovarian cancer test, which means they think you have ovarian cancer, and they're recommending a bunch of life-altering surgeries for many, many women who have this happen. Despite the notoriously hard to diagnose ovarian cancer causing the death of around 14,000 women every year, the United States Preventive Service Task Force has discovered that routine checkups can lead to too many false positives. In an editorial for the Journal of the American Medical Association, the University of Texas gynecologist, Dr. Karen Hugh Liu, wrote, "With such a clear unmet need and research commitment, it's important to ask the following questions. Why has it not been possible to delineate an effective screening strategy for ovarian cancer? Is an effective strategy close at hand?" So what they're warning to you now is basically don't test it, because if there are too many false positives, they may ask you that you have a ovarian removal, complete hysterectomy, all kinds of other things can happen to you. So they're warning people not to test for ovarian cancer in advance from this particular researcher. In another article that I pulled up also, it said that the problem now is starting to have a big issue with prostate cancer and prostate cancer screening and prostate testing. This is another article from the Telegraph out of the UK. And it goes on to say it this succinctly. It says, quite frankly, that prostate test saves no lives and may do more harm than good. Just screening for prostate cancer does not save lives and may do more harm than good, a major study has concluded. The largest ever study of PSA, prostate-specific antigen tests, which all men over 50 can obtain on request of their general practitioner, found that death rates are identical among men whether or not they have screening. Inviting symptomless men for the one-off blood test to detect some tumors unlikely to be harmful while still missing others that were fatal, researchers warned. The study was funded by the Cancer Research Center out of UK. Follows a long debate about whether the National Health Association should introduce routine screening and using these tests over in Great Britain. Guys, what's interesting to me is this. they're finding out more and more and more, and my grandma used to say this, my mom used to say this, and everybody else used to say this, the best thing you can do to stay healthy is stay away from your doctor. Now, why would they say that? Because that's not true in all cases, but why in the world would you take a healthy baby to a clinic full of sick children to get to be seen by the doctor to see if the kid's healthy? Doesn't make any sense. Me personally, I've never had a PSA test. I've never had my prostate screened. I'm 62 years old. I still have a really good urine flow. I don't have any problems with my prostate at all. Support on a regular basis, along with my zinc. And quite frankly, prostate cancer is such a slow-growing cancer. In the vast majority of cases, if you do come down with that as an adult male, as an old elderly male, you're going to die from something else like heart disease or whatever, your arteries being plugged up, before you ever die of the prostate problems. And the biggest problem that you have with prostate cancer, even if it's incorrect, is that they can go in there and start whittling around on that prostate gland, and you end up becoming impotent. I've seen it happen in guys in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, then they can no longer have sexual relations with their wife because they had a prostate surgery. So guys, be very, very careful when you are diagnosed with certain types of conditions like this. I had a good friend of mine, now may he rest in peace, his name is Richard Dawson, and he was in his early 60s, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And he called me up. This is 20 years ago now. He called me up and he says, "Ted, I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, Richard, you need to get multiple opinions." And he said, "Well, this one doctor is the one who's being covered by my medical insurance. So I don't know where else to go. I don't want to pay for anything else. And this is the one who they're saying that they'll pay for. And he wants to go ahead and put radioactive pellets in me to basically get rid of this prostate cancer." I said, "Richard, don't do that." I said, "Get multiple opinions before you do anything like that." Then a few months later, I sent him a Christmas card, and it was returned a month later. I got a letter back a month later from his wife. He had died like 3 months after he had talked to me from the prostate treatment protocol they had put him on. He was dead. This guy was totally healthy. He had nothing wrong with him, but his prostate came up with a PSA test high. So, guys, be very, very careful when you allow them to whittle on you or to put you on drugs, especially chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery, which can permanently and forever alter functions inside of your body. What do you think, Austin?
Well, you're so right about that, because, I mean, we see now that sometimes, you know, not all the time, some of these doctors are so negligent, and then some of them are just downright corrupt. I mean, there's an article last week that I didn't get to yet. I want to get to it today. Dr. Eduardo Montana, a pediatric cardiologist from Georgia, has now pleaded guilty for illegally targeting teens for a cholesterol drug that was only approved by the FDA for a rare disorder. According to the documents, Dr. Eduardo Montana colluded with pharmaceutical company Algeron to sell their drug Juxtaped to teenagers with heart problems, even though the drug was not approved for their conditions. Dr. Montana violated numerous HIPAA laws of patient privacy by supplying the pharmaceutical company private medical records of 280 teenagers without patient knowledge or consent. The Juxtaped was received FDA approval in 2012 and is only suitable for patients with a very, very rare lipid disorder, which is a genetic condition that obstructs the body's ability to manage cholesterol. It costs over $330,000 per patient per year, so the drug company had very strong financial motives to expand its sales. Dr. Montana was a willing accomplice to their criminal activities and reportedly tried to request a $236,000 grant from them later on after everybody has now been caught. The maximum penalty for Dr. Montana is 1 year in prison and a $50 fine. The sentence has not been shown yet. And so the thing you got to look at with this stuff, you have to be aware of it, cholesterol-lowering statin drugs are over $100 billion a year industry. Lipitor now is the far most profitable drug in the history of mankind among all pharmaceutical products. Lipitor, the statin drug, let alone being the most profitable cholesterol drug before its patent expired at the end of 2011, sales to date from this one particular drug have now exceeded almost $150 billion from this one drug alone. You guys got to think about that for a second. One drug, Lipitor, has done almost $150 $1 billion in sales. You know, you look at some of these really wealthy people, you know, when their net worth is, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 billion dollars. I mean, that's an insane amount of money for your net worth in the billions. And this drug, one single statin drug, is almost $150 billion now in just this drug alone. And what's even crazier now is they're starting to see in this article from Health Impact News that children across America have been targeted for drug trials to meet the demands of newly developed pediatric drugs via the Child Protective Services. They said to enroll a child in a drug trial, typically parental approval is always needed, and insurance companies in most cases will not cover the cost of care for the drugs because they are not yet approved by the FDA. But there is a loophole. If you could find any reason whatsoever to seize custody of the child by removing them from their family and putting them in custody with a foster parent. Once the child is in foster parent and a ward of the state, drug trials can occur without parental consent, and all of the child's medical bills can then be billed to Medicaid. There has been congressional hearings on this practice, and bills have been proposed to stop drug experiment on children put into foster care, but all of them still remain in the practice today. No legitimate bills have ever been passed to prevent this from happening. This is full-blown medical kidnapping by the United States Pharmaceutical Company, and there's nothing anybody ever wants to talk about this on a regular basis, and it's so sad, Dad. But what you're talking about as far as with a lot of these doctors and what they do, this shows you right here. I mean, this doctor pled guilty to it, Dr. Montana in Georgia, that he blatantly colluded with his pharmaceutical company to give them almost 300 medical records of these teenagers and children so that he could then try to prescribe them this super rare cholesterol-lowering drug that none of these kids really even needed, Dad.
You know, Austin, I worked with a guy, in fact, I took several continuing education classes from him, Dr. Charlie Atwood out of Louisiana. This is well over 20 years ago now, and I don't even know if Charlie's still in practice or not. He was a pediatrician there in Louisiana, and he told me that he had found that 100% of the children that he had tested for atherosclerotic plaquing in Louisiana had already developed extensive blockages of their arteries when they were still teenagers. Now, you put all that together with, you know, these cholesterol manufacturers chafing at the bit trying to get to these kids, that's not going to help them, by the way. This doesn't stop cholesterol buildup in the arteries. That's a complete lie. Statin drugs are based, their entire premise is based on a lie. But what's interesting about it is, Charlie told me, he says, the diet is so bad with the high-fat lunch meats and the hydrogenated oils and the trans fats in Louisiana there, that there was no way that he could even try to educate the population as to what in the world to try to correct their children's diet, because they simply wouldn't listen. You know, and a lot of people, Austin, and I mean, I don't mean this bad, but I mean, you know, with a six-pack of TV and doggone baby back ribs, they're as happy as a pig and slop. And that's all they care about. And you think, well, really? They really are. They really want to eat that stuff all the time. And that's why you see these huge obesity problems in the South, because these people eat like this on a regular basis. In fact, there's a really good article. We have it posted on our website. It's from the Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Reckwig. And it's called The Adverse Influence of Pork Consumption on Health. And everybody needs to print that article up and get a copy of it before they pull that thing down, because that's a really, really important article that everybody reads, and it really nails pork and what it does. By the way, this is out of the Daily Mail, and it says that we are cutting the throat of whiteness. South African politician vows to target white mayor as he praises plan to hand land back to black people and vows angry white people can go to hell. Julius Malema sends South Africa's Economic Freedom Fighters Opposition Party, revealed he wanted to remove Nelson Mandela Bay mayor because he is white. He told the packed arena, we don't hate white people, we just love black people. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that means. If I said to people, we don't hate black people, we just love white people, people go, wow, that's really a harsh statement. That is a harsh statement. People shouldn't even talk like this. And the problem is, in South Africa, they're so corrupt now, the government that took over. South Africa was the best country in Africa as far as standard of living, education, etc. to live in, and now it's one of the worst and one of the most dangerous. They have to hire bodyguards in Johannesburg when they come off the airplane just not to get carjacked and killed before they get out of the parking lot. The politician in South Africa also praised plans to transfer the land from white to black owners. In other words, They're not transferring anything. They're stealing the land from the white farmers who know how to grow food, who know how to make this country prosper, and they're giving it over to people that have no idea how to even feed the country. Now, on top of this, they're in that giant, you know, drought. Stalin did the same thing. He took over the farms in eastern Russia, and basically the farmers didn't want to give a percentage to the state. He threw them out, had them killed, put people on the farms that could not basically raise food, and Russia almost starved to death. This is one of the problems, Austin, when you see with bureaucracy, especially with socialism and collectivism. They don't allow the people to do what they know to do to get things working right. When Patton was running Germany after World War II, he put the Germans back in charge of the train stations, the power stations, the sewer stations, everything to get things back moving again in Germany. And he came under tremendous criticism in the United States press, which was a Jewish-controlled media. And they said, they were putting Nazis back in charge of how to run everything in the infrastructure inside of Germany. And his response to them was very simple. He said, look, if you can send me people who know how to run the trains and the power stations and the sewage plants without me using Nazis, I'll do that. But in the meantime, I have to get these facilities back up and running so we can feed the people and restore some type of semblance of life back to Germany. So he says, you can't tell me that I can't use the people that are fully trained. This is what South African is doing. They're taking the people out that know what they're doing, either killing them or throwing them off their farms, seizing their places, and telling them, we're going to send somebody else in to do this. By the way, we don't know what we're doing, so good luck. That's what's happening. That's why there's not one African-run country now. That Egypt now has been destroyed by the U.S., and Libya has been destroyed by the U.S., and South Africa's got a mess going on with their government on there. There's not one government that I would ever go to or try to have anything to do with in Africa now, because it's so stinking corrupt. It's even worse than what we have in the United States. And a lot of that, Austin, is because Africa has been raped by the international banking cartels because of their doggone natural resources, diamonds and gold, etc.
Yep.
And they're basically given these huge loans they can never pay back, and these corrupt politicians are put into place by these Rothschild banking cartel boys, and they're allowed to go ahead and continue the rape of the raw materials and the resources of those countries unabated by our international banks that we basically fund through the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, and the International Monetary Fund. This is a giant Ponzi scheme, and they're using all of these countries in Africa, basically, and they're taking advantage of every one of them. And I find it completely and totally egregious. What do you think?
That's exactly what they're doing. I mean, they come in and they take over all the natural resources. They've been doing this for years and years and years. And South Africa is no different. The problem is now it's gotten so bad you can't really even live there anymore. I mean, it's always had a very, very high crime rate. I remember years and years ago I was watching basically a show on vehicle tactics, different weapons and gadgets. You know, they put on different types of vehicles. And South Africa was the first place in the world that was actually equipping flamethrowers under the sides of their doors on their vehicles. So if you were in your vehicle and basically parked or stopped or at a red light and somebody approached your vehicle and tried to carjack you, because it's so common down there, you'd literally hit the button on the dash and it would blow 8-foot flames out of both sides or all around the vehicle on both sides, pretty much charcoaling anybody that's trying to hijack you. Quite effective what it did. They said it worked very well. But I mean, golly, I mean, is that really the civilization you want to live in? You got to put flamethrowers underneath your car to be able to try to drive, you know, travel freely unmolested on your way. That's sad. But also too, in other news as well, we're seeing this, and I talked to somebody the other day and they were kind of arguing with me about what we're seeing right now in Florida, what they're trying to push with this Baker Act amendment on the firearm bill that they're pushing through the Florida Senate right now, and they're trying to get, you know, Governor Rick Scott to sign off once it gets approved. And I have a real issue with this, and I've voiced my opinion on it repeatedly. That's why I've told you guys over and over again, if you're in Florida, if you're around Florida, if you have family in Florida, write all of our state legislators and tell them you do not approve of this, you know, with Baker Act law, all these different laws they have different names for in California and so forth. What they've slowly done now is they've given the right and the ability to the state and the government to come in and seize your guns under pretty much any circumstances they want if they have any type of complaint or any made up complaint at all. I've gone into detail in this now. Well, Washington State is got the exact same laws that California has, the exact same laws that they're trying to push in Florida now. A man in Seattle has now had his gun confiscated by police after breaking no laws whatsoever. The new red flag law, which has taken a hold in other states already, like California, allows the courts and law enforcement to take away all firearms from individuals that they deem dangerous and thus begin the confiscation. A man living in Belltown neighborhood of Seattle, Washington, became the first individual in the state to have his firearm confiscated without any formal arrest or charges. Neighbors had complained that the man had been staring at people out of his house and around the apartment complex while wearing a holstered firearm. He was not brandishing his weapon by any account. Open carry is legal in the state of Washington if you have a license, and he did. So he was abiding the law in every aspect. Other residents also complained that the man's open carry was making them uncomfortable and unsafe. These lousy complaints from neighbors allowed police and gave them the right to use the newly passed state law to confiscate the man's firearms because he apparently stared at others. Under the Extreme Risk Protection Order, also referred to as ERPOS or red flag laws, the police are now allowed to violate a person's Second and Fourth Amendment rights and take their legally acquired personal property if they are essentially tattled on by anybody in the vicinity. Tyranny is now starting to take hold in the United States. This is something that I've tried to bring up, and a lot of people don't understand. Everybody goes, oh, well, you know, mentally ill people don't need to have firearms. Well, first off, everybody needs to understand that if somebody has an issue, if somebody has an argument, if somebody tattles on them, that doesn't mean they're necessarily mentally ill. Yes, if somebody is in a state ward and they're deemed basically fully unfunctional and they have to be taken care of by the state because they're fully mentally incapable of functioning on their own, yeah, they probably don't need to have a firearm. But that is not what we're seeing here. The state of Florida has the most Baker Acts of any state in the entire country. The cities and the county sheriffs actually get kickbacks from the police or from the hospitals when they Baker Act individuals. That's why if you talk to sheriffs, they actually get paid more. They get $100 to $150 per Baker Act transport just for doing a transport. And what it allows the departments to do is it allows to take somebody that may be belligerent, that may have had some charges filed on them, that maybe somebody said they were basically being unruly, and instead of having to take them to the jail, book them, process them, spend hours of manpower from the sheriff's department to arrest them, they simply take them to the hospital, transfer them to the hospital, wipe their hands, sign them off, and that's all the paperwork they have to do. Then the hospital holds them for 3 days until they basically let them go. This will eventually completely allow the state of Florida to come in now under this. We had, I think, over 202,000 Baker Acts last year in the state of Florida. But if you are Baker Acted for any reason whatsoever, it doesn't even matter if you have an argument with your wife, the state has the right now to come in with a search warrant, seize all of your weapons in your house, anything they can find, anything they can take, and at that point, take them back to inventory, list them under inventory, and then after 60 days, you have the ability to go to the court and basically request that they give you your guns back, and if they feel that you're capable of owning guns, they may or may not allow you to have your guns back, or they may tell you you have to wait another 90 days, or you have to take a psych eval, or you have to basically register them, or whatever this thing may be. This is where it's headed, guys. This is soft gun confiscation, and they are not even trying to hide it anymore whatsoever. That's why I've been so adamant about opposing this new bill that they're trying to push through Florida law, because they're already using this law to take people's guns away. Even people that have not been Baker Acted have not shown any type of mental incapacity to own a firearm or any type of issue that they're a harm to others, Dad.
Wow. You know, it just never ends. I mean, and remember, that Second Amendment, you know, the forefathers of our country, the ones, the founders, the ones, you know, Thomas Jefferson and the boys, I mean, when they put this thing together, they put that Constitution together, they wanted us to know that this was going to keep our Republic together and keep us protected. Again, we were given the rights to bear arms to protect us against a tyrannical government, that'd be the U.S. government. I mean, this is what they knew we had to have, because the British wouldn't allow us to have weapons on a regular basis like that. They confiscated them because they didn't want the unruly colonists to go out and do what they did. But after the French and Indian War got fought, this is what got them. When the French and Indian War got fought and all of these guys were brought out of these militias and and conscripted into the British Army and basically fought and fought and fought and fought for all those years of the French and Indian War, they became hardened soldiers. So these are the same guys that a few years later said, hey, you know what? We've already fought off the doggone for the Indians. When the French, we can sure in the world, we can sure go in here and take care of this mess too. And that's what they did. And they don't want that again. By the way, Catherine Austin Fitz, I like Catherine Austin Fitz. She's a pretty cool girl. She says she was the Assistant Secretary of Housing in the Bush administration. She says the reason that we have pension fund studies is because we're going to stop the corruption. Now, here's what she's found about pension funds. She did an interview with, you can listen to it, it's a good article, a good interview with Greg Hunter. He's a real strong Christian. This financial expert and investment advisor, Catherine Austin Fitz, contends the federal government allows pension funds to be robbed. We're also talking Social Security here. She says our pension funds have real money. These pension funds basically finance the government and what the government is doing. So they buy treasury securities, and the government turns around and gives that money to the black budget firms. There we go again. That's the CIA, the same rabbit hole. This goes down the rabbit hole, and meantime, what we get back on our pensions is an IOU from the government, including Social Security, which now we owe ourselves. We are giving up real money to get an IOU back for ourselves, and basically this is a giant money laundering scheme. This is a criminal cabal that runs the United States government through the Exchange Stability Fund. I'm adding that. And if you think because you don't have a pension that's a problem and it doesn't apply to you, then think again. The liability to come back and bite you is enormous. This is going to roll back and bite you one way or another as a taxpayer, whether federal, state, or local. The other thing is if your parents show up at your door when their pension funds are cut and say, hey, can we live with you? What are you going to say? This is a problem that we're going to run into in the United States when Social Security basically collapses and the pension funds from all these federal government jobs, which are so lucrative, and all these state government jobs, which are so lucrative. Some of these places, Austin, you can work for 20 years and get an 80% retirement pension after just 20 years with some of these state and local government jobs. That means if you're making $100,000 a year after 20 years, they're going to give you $80,000 the rest of your life. Who's supposed to pay for all of that? And what they're doing is the money that's paid into that over the years in aggregate is being taken out and spent in other activities and other black budget ops that cannot be monitored. And IOUs are being put back into these systems, especially with the federal government, where there are hundreds of thousands, millions of employees. It's absolutely nuts, son. What do you think about this?
It is. It really is crazy. And I've seen that firsthand, exactly what you just said, when I've seen stuff happen over the years now. As I'm starting to get older, you'll have kids that basically get out of high school and they start working basically at a federal job or a state-level job and work their way up when they're 18, 19 years old. And by the time they're 38, 39, 40 years old, they can fully retire. And they're retiring on $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, and they're 40, so then they can go find another job and make more money, which, I mean, to them, I understand it. That's lucrative. That's an awesome deal. But it's like you said, who's supposed to pay for all this? You know, when you're dealing with jobs that the only way they have funds is by stealing it from the taxpayer to pay all the employees, that's a real issue because you don't have anything built. You don't have any growth, any true growth from sales. All you're doing is you're taking money from the taxpayers and you're spreading it to people that are working. Now, there's very key aspects of the government and certain jobs that are very important and need to be there. But what we saw, remember, and Obama did this so slick as far as absolutely as socialist as he was, he did it so slick, is he goes, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create 150,000 new jobs for America. So we're going to watch all this unemployment go down. We're going to watch the wealth go up. And then you look at all the crap that he did, and like 95% of it were all federal jobs that we really didn't even need. It was like, well, we need to add five more people here that handle paper clipping files and filing them in the file cabinets because the other five people that are already on there, they're pretty busy, so we want to make sure they don't have to work as hard, so we'll just add five more people here, and we'll start them off, you know, at $80,000 a year. Oh, yeah, well, we have this position right here, basically, account relations. Well, we need to add two more people to that, so it makes the job load easier, and they don't have to work as much, and then that way they can actually get more vacation time that's paid. And like I said, I don't have a bit of problem with making good money. I don't have a bit of problem with people going out and working hard and making good money, but what I have an issue with is when the government starts setting up these jobs that they can't last. There's no possible way to keep them in any type of healthy budget. It it's an issue. And so it's exactly what Dad said. We start seeing this stuff go up now, and people are getting these huge retirements. This stuff's going to come to a head. And the problem is nothing is being out in the open at all. Senator Rand Paul, I was so happy to see this again. I hope it goes somewhere. They've been pushing it for decades. Who knows where it's going to go? I'm glad to see him being vigilant on it, though. Senator Rand Paul announced yesterday that he will introduce his audit the Fed legislation, which would permit a full audit of the Federal Reserve System as an amendment to the Senate banking bill. The Senate is expected to vote on the banking bill at the end of this week. He said, while we have made great strides in reviving our economy through curbing overzealous regulation and cutting taxes, lasting prosperity will escape us if we do not hold the enabler of big government and our astronomical national debt accountable. It's time for the Senate to side with the American people by removing the shackles on congressional oversight and lifting the Fed's veil of secrecy. It's time for us to pass audit the Fed, he said in a press release this week. Paul remains steadfast in his commitment to receiving nearly unanimous Republican support, in addition to support from even Bernie Sanders. The bill fell short of the required 60 votes in 2016, so now he's doing it again this year. And this still boggles my mind. This is a perfect example. If everybody wants to argue with you, you want to know who runs the government, you want to know who runs the finances, look at who runs the money and who has not allowed themselves to be audited in the history of the United States as far as since 1913. 100 years now, these guys have literally controlled our dollar with an iron fist, yet they will not allow themselves to be audited. That literally, the whole concept of that boggles my mind. It literally boggles my mind. You sit there and say, we're going to give you full audacity to handle all of our monetary policies, all of everything. We're going to borrow money from you at interest. You're going to handle all of it, but we are not going to have the ability to audit you. That right there is a slap in the face of every single American citizen that is legally here on the fact that that is tyranny. That is exactly what we did not want to have envelop us in this country when we did the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, and we are back in it again from the stinking banksters that never stop this cycle, Dad.
Well, Thomas Jefferson said that, you know, having a central bank is worse than having a standing army from another country in your own country.
Yep.
Because they just take over everything over. And what you have to understand is this. The Federal Reserve, the New York Fed, basically runs the Exchange Stability Fund, which runs the Treasury. So you have to go New York Fed equals Exchange Stability Fund equals Treasury. The New York Fed, through the Exchange Stability Fund, runs the Treasury of the United States. That's how they took over the country in 1934, was through the Exchange Stability Fund. This super secret organization. That's what it is. Super secret organization that the black ops money goes through, the drug money goes through, and is distributed through, that we don't even have any idea what's happening. See, if we audit the Fed, it'll go right back to the Exchange Stability Fund. It'll go right back to the New York Fed and go right back to the Treasury Department, Austin. That's why they don't want that to happen. That's why the congressmen have all been paid off and been bought off, or not all of them, a bunch of them. That's why you can't get 60 votes out of the Senate. By the way, here's another article. School safety administrator discusses disturbing evidence in the Park School shooting. Wolfgang Halbert, a retired state school administrator and safety expert who researched in detail the Sandy Hook shooting back in 2012 and concluded it was a contrived event that it never happened. He now turns his investigative skills to the shooting at Parkland High School. Halbig wrote the school safety plan for Douglas High School in 2006 and says that the Parkland shooting follows the exact same script as the Sandy Hook event. There were no trauma helicopters called in. Paramedics were not allowed into the school, and it is unknown who declared the victims dead. Halbig discusses in great detail numerous examples of how school administrators and police violated well-known safety protocols, the effect of which was to put children and teachers into high risk of being killed, all in violations of these protocols. This interview that G. Edward Griffin's talking about includes a TV clip of a teacher saying that she clearly saw the shooter in the corridor outside her classroom, fully dressed in body armor, helmet and mask, exactly like a SWAT team member. She thought it was a police officer. It was not Nicholas Cruz. The students that police say has confessed to the shooting. The school has refused to release any surveillance video of the corridors. I mean, so guys, it's the same stuff over and over and over again. This, again, is a CIA, FBI, Mossad joint operation, basically doing what they do, and that's running false flags and basically controlling the narratives and not allowing anybody to see the audio tape or the videotape. Unbelievable, Austin. And every time we talk about this stuff and more people start coming out about this stuff, again, why weren't there medevac helicopters there? All these people dead? All these people shot? All these victims hurt? Why were there no medevac helicopters anywhere? Why did that happen again? There should have been 20 helicopters landing out there and taking these kids out and getting them to the hospitals. Again, no helicopters. Very, very strange, strange event. Again, Austin, what are you thinking? What's your next story?
Oh, yeah. Well, they wanted the body count to be as high as possible. That's why they told the medics, the EMTs that were there first on the scene, that you can't go in. The scene's not clear. You guys can't go in. Okay, well, why don't you guys breach, and we'll go follow behind you and start doing triage on victims. We'll see which ones basically are bleeding out. They need tourniquets. Oh, no, you can't do that. You're not approved to enter. Excuse me? You're telling EMTs they're not allowed to enter the building after you're clearing it to go in and set up triage and find out who's mortally wounded and basically who's bleeding out and who needs help immediately? No. They wanted to get the body count as high as physically possible. They wanted to go in. They wanted to make sure that they had a big publicity stunt for this. And like you said, Dad, why weren't there medevac helicopters from all over the state? That's down there in South Florida. You got Miami. You got Fort Lauderdale. You got Boca Raton. You got big, high-dollar hospitals down there. You have big money down there, and you're telling me they weren't able to spool up medevac helicopters from all over South Florida to bring them into Parkland, start landing them in the fields over there, and start bringing the kids out that were really significantly wounded and start jetting them all over to the hospitals through all out South Florida? It doesn't make any sense to me. This was either full-blown negligence, an attempt to try to make the scene worse than it was, or is a full-blown false flag that they knew was going to happen, and they had everything dialed in, and they wanted to make sure nothing got in the way of it. That's my opinion on it. Also, too, this is something that's it's actually quite sad, but as we're seeing it more and more now, it's the overall goal of what these globalists have tried to do with the opiates. They're now saying that young children in the United States are overdosing on opiates at an alarming rate, a new study shows. They said the number of children being admitted into hospitals for overdose of opiates has more than doubled since 2004. Researchers, according to the study published Monday in Pediatrics, found that there were 1,504 child patients admitted to intensive care units from opiate overdose from 2012 to 2015, compared to around 700 from 2004 to 2007. One of the doctors said the thing that was a bit striking is that in the youngest children, those under 6 years of age, 20% of the overdose ingestions were of methadone. So you sort of have to ask yourself, where are they getting all this methadone from? And that was from Mr. Kane, the lead author on the study. The thing about it is methadone is very heavily controlled. You have to get it from a methadone clinic. It's not something that you just have floating around like Tylenol or ibuprofen. So how are all these kids getting this much access to methadone to the point that you're seeing this many amount of children overdosing on this stuff? And this goes back to what I've told you guys before, from what I heard 2 years ago, year and a half now, is that most of the opium that they're bringing out of Afghanistan is not just being taken into heroin and brought to the United States. They're taking it into basically the underground labs and other pharmaceutical labs that are off books over in India and Pakistan, and they're making all types of different pharmaceutical drugs that are actually very legit generic pharmaceutical drugs. Can be from anywhere from oxycodone to generic oxycontin to morphine or hydromorphine or methadone, and then they're shipping them all over the world and exploding them on the black market without any type of pharmaceutical or basically any pharmacy control on them. And that's how all these drugs are getting in the hands of people, even though that the doctors have completely tightened up on opiate prescriptions over the last year, year and a half because of what Congress has done and everything else. It's very difficult now to get prescriptions for any of this stuff. Very difficult. Yet we still see a massive amount of individuals overdosing on prescription pills. So the question is exactly what Mr. Kane said, where are they getting all these pills from? And that is the only plausible solution you can figure out, is that this stuff is being made overseas as generics in these labs. And that's why when the doctors find them, they go, well, we have generic OxyContin in a bag. Okay, well, that's legitimate. It looks like it. It's stamped like it. It's just like it. It meets all the requirements of it. It tests just like it. Okay, so we don't know where it came from, but there was OxyContin at the scene, so we're registering it as that. How's all this stuff continuing to get out if the pharmacies aren't getting robbed and the doctors have cut down on prescriptions by almost 70%? That's the only plausible answer. Now it's getting in the hands of our little children, and now they're overdosing at a rapid rate of it. It's extremely sad, Dad.
I completely agree with you, Austin. Now kids are taking it. You know, I've had to take, Dilaudin, which is like a morphine product before with back surgery. And I stay on it a very short period of time, a couple of days, and I get off of it. I don't like the way it makes me feel, but it will take the pain away. So if you've got a problem with a person who has habitual pain and they start taking it, it's very, very addictive. The thing about it is these kids, they're not having to deal with perpetual pain. They're just taking opiates to get high on them. And quite frankly, all I ever wanted to do when I took the stuff was sleep. So I don't know why in the world these kids are even taking this product and why some kind of designer pill that these kids are being given. I guess they're being given to them by these other people on the street trying to get them to push further and further towards heroin. I don't know. Oh, by the way, the Anti-Jewish Defamation League with UC Berkeley, they have created an artificial intelligence program called the Online Hate Index to detect hate speech and create definitions for it. This sounds like a lot worthy event, but for years, the ADL has promoted far-left political agendas while accusing those who oppose these agendas as being anti-Semitic. I mean, gosh, I mean, it's ridiculous. Most people are not aware of this organization is using its Jewish identity, the Anti-Jewish Defamation League, as a cover to promote leftist political agendas. The time is drawing near when any expression of opposition to leftist agendas will be defined as hate speech, and that will justify denying them internet access to express their opinions. This is a really good article you guys need to read by G. Edward Griffin. It's the ADL announces new internet censorship project to identify and prevent hate speech. The problem is they don't want people talking about Israel. They don't want people talking about the Holocaust. They don't want people talking about World War II. They don't want people talking about concentration camps unless they're controlling the narrative. And if you don't allow them to control the narrative, they don't want you actually controlling or speaking at all. Remember, this is the same group of people that worked in destroying the Russian Tsar, killing the entire Tsar family, created the Russian Revolution. These are the Sabbatean, Frankist, Kabbalist, Luciferians. They claim to be Jews, but they're really not Jews. The vast majority of these guys are either atheists or they're basically Sabbateans or Luciferians. That's what they are. And the problem is they get a lot of people backing them with a lot of money to promote their agenda. And it's sad to me, Austin, that these guys continue to do all of this stuff and say anything you say that they don't agree with is basically hate speech or anti-Semitic. It's complete and total nonsense. What do you think?
You're right. That's what they've done, and this is what they're doing now because they want to censor anything that they don't agree with or doesn't fit their narrative. That's been going on and on for the longest time now. It's quite crazy. And also, too, I saw this the other day. This was interesting. You know, we see the stuff that's been going on now with this whole transgender nonsense and this push for this stuff all the time. And now there's an article that I read earlier. I thought it would just tie this in with that, is that this has been pre-planned now for the last decade by not just the globalists, but by big pharma to rake in more money. Much of this has been tied into the push and acceptance and normalization of transgenderism. Jennifer Billick admits to this of sorts. She says they've funneled money towards significant amount of certain special interest groups. Among these are numerous drug companies that supply the hormones and other chemical concoctions that aid the process of gender conversion. Listen to this. More than $400 million now over the last few years has been given by donors and businesses of pharmaceutical companies to promote the transgender agenda, which has really gained traction just in the last few years. She said these men and others, including the pharmaceutical companies and the U.S. government, are sending millions upon millions of dollars to the LGB cause, now reported at $424 million. They said from 2003 to 2013, funding for transgender issues increased more than eightfold, growing at threefold the increase of the rate regular funding overall, which quadrupled from 2003 to 2012. This huge spike in funding happened at the exact same time transgenderism became gaining traction in the American culture, and at the exact same time King Obama decided he wanted to start pushing this in the mainstream and forcing people to allow basically grown men into women's bathrooms because it was their right to act like pedophiles if they wanted to do so, to the point that even companies like Target went in and did it on their own accord just to capitulate with this. So I just kind of wanted to tie that in with everything, that it hasn't been just the globalist narrative, but another way too to make more money off the pharmaceutical drugs to push these hormones. That's why you hear about it now. Why they're pushing so hard to not allow parents to have any say over it. They go see some counselor. The counselor goes, you know, if you're 14 and you want to be a little girl, that's fine. You can do that. We'll just start you on all these different drugs right now, and I'll write you the scripts for them, and we'll start applying them to you, and you can do them. And the parents go, no, I'm not going to allow my child to do that. Oh, you don't have a say. What are you going to tell your child? They can't be who they want to be. You can't do that. I'm having this child taken from you and placed in foster care. Bam. That's what they're trying to do all over the place now, because they're pushing this agenda not just to completely ruin the moral and ethic culture that we have in this country, but in turn to spend more money and more money go to the pharmaceutical companies. Dad, it's like a never-ending door with these yahoos.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall be with the return of the Son of Man. And Jesus said that, you know, and the Bible says that in those days every thought of every man was evil all the time. These are the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the ones that want to destroy everything God created and flip it all upside down, turn little boys into little girls into little boys, completely yep. change gender roles. I mean, this is who these guys are. It's crazy. And these same group of people that are doing this also ran the Oscars this week. And these are the ones who have the atavistic hatred, this generational 2,000-year-old hatred of Christians. Because they hate everything that's Christian. They want to downgrade Christ. They want to say he never even lived. I mean, it's the most documented historical event in the world. But they want to say none of it's true. In fact, Rush Limbaugh nailed it in this article. He just nailed the Oscars. He said it's like the 4th of July for liberals, except for their goal is to trash America. Numbers are in for what's being called the anti-Trump Oscars. And for fans of Hollywood activism, these atavistic haters, it could be the most disappointing number since Donald Trump hit 270 electoral votes. According to Adweek, the politically charged 2018 Oscars only managed 20.65 million viewers, which surprises me. It's one of the lowest numbers ratings they've ever had. While some blame the numbers on nominees, critically claimed it mostly unseen pictures like The Sound of Water. I'm not going to read you stupid movies. They're stupid. Others blame it for the over-political nature of the broadcast, which has become something like a well-produced extravaganza for the Democratic National Party, which is, again, controlled by the Anti-Jewish Defamation League, controlled by the extreme communist left, the extreme Zionist left. I mean, not the Zionist left, because that's the one that's on the Christian side. But for Rush Limbaugh, like the 4th of July for liberals. On his Monday show, the man behind the golden EIB microphone did a bit of analysis about why the Oscars fell so badly. So we got the preliminary numbers, and as the ratings for last night's Epidemic Awards went way down, I've seen the preliminaries at a minus 16% from last year. Limbaugh began, these are the early overnights after last year, and since the early overnights are the major metro areas where most of the delusional leftists live in this country, that does not bode well. By the time you get that out into the country, the medium and smaller markets, the number is going to go even lower. So basically, it completely and totally trashed because of the junk that they put out. When they put out movies like Mother, which is pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, destroyed Jennifer Lawrence's movie career. This last movie she just came out with, I'm not going to permit it, both the name, it just came out this past week. It flopped at the box office already. Guys, if we as American, as people who care about this country, stop supporting these guys with our dollars and stop seeing their movies and stop ordering their movies on Netflix and stop buying the DVDs, these people will go out of business and they will no longer be able to produce this type of filth. These are the same guys that came over after the Russian Revolution, who took over Hollywood and who started all of this stuff to basically reprogram America and get rid of the white Protestant work ethic in the United States and to destroy our culture. That's who these guys are. And they're not going to stop until they either accomplish their goal or we throw them out and get them out of Hollywood control, get them out of mainstream media. And again, these guys are being funded and controlled through the international banking cartels, which basically run and backroll all of these Hollywood movie show lots. They're the ones who pay for these movies and production costs. And again, it's the international banks that are doing all of it. Again, Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Rothschild control. We always come back to that on this show because I want to always tie these things back up in a neat little bow to show you who's doing it, Austin. What do you think of what's your next story?
Oh, man, you're so right. That's exactly what it does. Also, too, dealing with illegal immigration, as a lot of people say, you know, oh, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. The Californians and a lot of the liberals, not all the Californians, but a lot of the liberals out there are constantly about their sanctuary city. Well, now a illegal immigrant has pleaded guilty to using fake identity to steal $361,000 in government benefits. The illegal Mexican had confessed to stealing the identity of an American citizen over the course of 30 years, pocketing $361,000. Andreas Anjuga, 66, who hails from Tijuana, Mexico, admitted in San Diego federal court on Thursday that he assumed the fake identity of a Texas resident named Abraham Rijos in 1980. After obtaining a fraudulent birth certificate and then successfully applied for a California driver's license, social security number, and passport. From 89 to 2016, according to the plea agreement, he received over $360,000 in benefits, including Medi-Cal, food stamps, and social security benefits. The fake identity also enabled him, as an illegal immigrant and repeat felon, by the way, to go back and forth without restricted access between Mexico and the United States, which he alleged had been doing multiple times per week. He faces 12 years behind bars. Sentencing is slated for May 29th. This is just another example of why we need to have checked immigration in this country, and we can't just start promoting things like sanctuary cities where anybody can come there at any time from any country as an illegal and get everything free because they deserve it. That's just not something that's acceptable in my book, Dad, at all.
Agreed. A well-known evolutionist, Dawkins, now says he wants to eat human meat.
Oh, wow.
These guys, you know, it just never ends like here. Why do they say that? Okay? Because, you know, cannibalism is, you know, profoundly immoral in Western culture. I mean, we don't do stuff like that. The problem is these guys and their rituals and what they do, they're on a routine basis eating humans, eating babies, and doing all this stuff. And I'm sorry to talk about this stuff because it's so awful. I don't like even talking about it. But, you know, his cannibalistic yearning basically is, again, putting a finger in the eye of God, saying that we are no different than animals and that people shouldn't be able to eat us. Now, another story just completely reaffirms that is from South Carolina. A South Carolina man wanted to eat a child, police say. He's out of jail on bond. This is in Greenville, South Carolina. A man police say wanted to cannibalize a child after turning her into a full-time baby maker and sex slave, is out of jail on bond, according to court records. Justin Teeter Benzing, 36, of Myrtle Beach, faces two counts of criminal solicitation of a minor in connection with a roundup of more than 40 accused child predators and sex traffickers announced last week. Benzing said on online communications that he wanted to cannibalize a child. You know, I don't even know how to say this stuff without this kind of just getting kind of nauseous about it. I'm not going to read you the rest of this article, but I'm telling you guys, this is the world that we live in right now, and these are the people that are involved with running the world and the dark culture they have, the subversive dark culture that permeates our society, that basically says that Satanism is good, cannibalism is good, human beings are just another source of meat, and we should be able to do anything we want to do and completely disregard the Christian laws. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I have the honor and the privilege of praying for you again this morning. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your vitamins from us and your supplements from us. Thank you for being here and listening to us every day. You guys are awesome. And, you know, it just means so much to us. If it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't be here. And I guarantee you one thing, I'll be here as long as I possibly can. They've already yanked our YouTube channel down. I hope they leave Global Star alone. And, guys, thank you again for listening. I love you guys. Austin, you'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. It looks like they're showing here now on Fox that Nicholas Cruz, the supposed shooter in Parkland, has been formally charged Wednesday with 17 counts of premeditated murder and attempted murder. The Broward County Grand Jury announced on Wednesday the 34-count indictment for Cruz, who allegedly opened fire on the high school. So this is something that's very, very interesting and sad to see in some aspects. You know, if that was something he did, I mean, it's horrific. But the more and more we're starting to look at this, the more and more it's starting to seem is that there was definitely something going on behind the scenes that nobody knows about. And just for the fact, like I said, when that teacher did that one interview, they didn't let her do any other ones, and she blatantly said, you know, why are the police in the school shooting? I saw this guy, full body armor, face mask, helmet, rifle, I did not recognize, shooting him down the hallway. That was a big red flag right there for me when I heard that, because the way this kid's acting, the way his body, as far as his actual body composition and the size of him, it's really, really, really hard for me to believe that this kid pulled this off all by himself and basically was able to do this so slickly, including sliding out with the students there, and nobody noticed him the entire time he was at the school, in the school, sliding out the school, and there's not a single eyewitness account of him anywhere in the school, not to mention there's not a single video footage they've released of anybody in the school shooting, because in my opinion, once they start showing that, if they show any video of even a single person in the school shooting, you know, as far as surveillance footage, that's going to be able to be broken down and dissected very easily, because the body composition of Cruz, you know, they're going to have his height, his weight, everything's going to be on record from his arrest. You can see he's not a very big individual. So if you see somebody running down the halls in full body armor, and they look like they're, you know, 6 foot tall, 180, 190 pound, you know, average soldier size, it's going to be pretty clear evidence that this kid was not, because if he's running around, first off, as skinny as he is, he's going to be wearing very, very small body armor. He's going to have a very small helmet. Nothing's going to be standard size from the size that I've seen him in the courtroom and everything else. So it's going to be pretty easy to see. But again, they won't show us a single video. They won't show us any evidence. They don't even have an eyewitness account of this kid in the school doing anything illegal other than maybe trespassing. So I just thought I would add that in there. But guys, thank you so much. We appreciate the support. If you need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. Also, too, the Doug30 coupon is still active on the Ultimate Multiple Powder. Had a lot of people pick that up yesterday. I guess you guys heard it on the show. So be sure, if you've been wanting to try that product out, be sure to give it a shot. And also, too, check out any of the other products as far as kits that we have on there. The Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit is a very popular one. The Men's Health, a lot of different ones on there. We just got a brand new batch of Tribulus in, so all those orders are going to be going out. I know some of our listeners, you know, we had it on back order for a couple days because we were out. That product moves very fast. That Tribulus is an incredibly good testosterone booster, very easy on the body and very effective at the same time. So be sure to check that out and all the other stuff we have on there. And also, too, be sure to check out the Super Summer Cutting Bodybuilder Stack, the one we put together with a couple different products, including the Tribulus. That one's also on sale right now. Is a limited time promo only. I've had a lot of people getting good results from that, as it's on sale for like $89 right now, which is like 60% off the regular price, because I want everybody to be able to try it as a demo. So be sure to check that out, guys. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.